No Hearts of Gold, written by Jackie French and read by Abby Holmes. The bride wore blood, a ruby necklace vivid against her white dress, with the widest crinoline Sydney had ever seen. The satin silk gleamed in the sunlight, its lace caught up by seed pearls, as the tiny young woman stepped from the carriage onto the freshly swept road below the church. The dress was magnificent, but it also emphasized a skin too dark for complete respectability, despite Lady Viola's wealth and title. Perhaps Lady Viola thought her dress so splendid and her own small shape so insignificant that her brown skin would not be noticed under her veil and damask gloves. Her Majesty Queen Victoria had been married in white, but white was still far from the norm, even at society weddings. Only the most wealthy could afford a colour that must be washed after every wearing. The drably dressed women in the watching crowd muttered that blue or green would surely have looked better with that brown complexion. The crowd moved closer as the matron of honour adjusted the bride's veil under a tiara of more rubies entwined with fresh white roses.
"Saw her meself," the women would say. "Lady Viola Montefiore, a genuine lady. Of course, you knows about the scandal."
The men and boys were more eager to earn pennies, holding the bridles of the guests' horses for the grooms. And this was Sydney, a colony built on thievery. There were pickpockets and cut purses, cunning enough to slip the cravat from your neck without detection. Besides, some new husbands ordered coins to be distributed to the watching crowd, either in joy at marital bliss to come, or in thanks for allowing his bride to enter the church without having her necklace stolen. The early morning sky stretched like a blue handkerchief above the church. Seagulls wheeled white above the harbour, and tall-masted ships sailed like swans. The bride stood quite still for a moment, small, almost childlike, as the governor, Sir Charles Augustus Fitzroy himself, descended the stairs to take her hand. Police in blue uniforms held back the crowd as the matron of honour walked towards the church on the arm of one of His Excellency's aides. The bride and His Excellency followed. The new church smelled of heat and freshly hewn sandstone. A sensitive wedding guest might have imagined the sweet stench of the convicts who had shaped its stones. But this was unlikely, among the scents of gardenia and roses, the starch that had stiffened the ladies' silks, the bay rum that had anointed the chins of the men as their valets shaved them that morning. Few guests knew their bride or groom well. But even though the heart of Sydney society was built on gold these days, or at least from the wealth from selling mutton to miners, English aristocracy still mattered. Besides, Lady Viola's own fortune rivaled any in the colony. The music swelled. The congregation stood as the matron of honour began her slow walk down the aisle, followed by the bride and His Excellency. Lady Viola's face had been solemn as she walked from the carriage to the church, and yet, despite convention that said a bride should look neither right nor left, Lady Viola flashed a smile at the friends in the front pew.